I'm not going to speak for a long time today because I'd like to leave a bit more space for prayer and to do some stuff around this board as well. But I'd like to continue this theme of rejoicing and mourning, of joy and grief, of happiness and sadness. And I want to take a bit of time to reflect a bit more on our common human experience. And I want to do this a little bit through the eyes of a parent, with this being Father's Day. This week, I've spent a little bit of time looking at different dads in the Bible. And what I found wasn't particularly encouraging. In pretty much all of the stories, I found it was either talking about the flaws and sins of the dad or the flaws and sins of their offspring. And so just to mention a few of them, if you look at the story of Adam, his sons were Cain and Abel. One son killed the other son. Noah was a righteous man who was very protective of his family, built an ark to keep them safe as God had commanded. But even Noah wasn't perfect, and at the end of the story we read that his sons find him drunk and naked. Abraham is another father we find in the Bible who shows many good fatherly qualities, but we read of his emotional turmoil, the emotional turmoil that he went through when God told him to sacrifice his son Isaac. He did what God told him. And we know that in the end, he sacrificed a ram instead because God instructed him differently right at the last moment. He was faithful to God in doing what God had told him to do, but this must have been a horrendous experience for Abraham to go through as a father. Isaac then himself became a father and had twin sons, Jacob and Esau. These two brothers argued over who would inherit the most from their father and who would receive his blessing. In his old age, Isaac is starting to go blind and he's lying there on his bed. And Jacob pretends to be his brother Esau. He deceives his father Isaac and receives his father's blessing, stealing what was his brother's. Many of us will also know the story of Joseph and his Technicolor dream coat, mainly from watching the film, but also from reading the Bible. And we know that Jacob had 12 sons, but showed favoritism to one, to Joseph. And this spread jealousy throughout his family. And we know that the brothers gave Joseph into slavery. And so that's just a list of the few, a few of the relationships between fathers and their children that we find in the Old Testament. And as I say, what we find in these stories are many of the challenges and many of the struggles of parenthood because of the reality that no one is perfect. No parent is perfect and no child is perfect. And this means that every family will go through times of joy and times of sorrow. And this doesn't just relate to relationships between parents and children, but to any relationship and even to our lives as individuals as well. We are imperfect people living in an imperfect world. And this means we go through times of rejoicing and times of sorrow, times of mourning and times of dancing. As well as these negative accounts of these stories that I've just told us about, I'm sure that these families, I'm sure Abraham and Isaac and all of these other people had plenty of times within their family lives where things were good, where they rejoiced together, where they were joyful, where they ate together and celebrated together and partied and rejoiced. And so they had ups and downs. They had joys and sorrows, weeping and laughing, mourning and dancing. My dad's here today, and I'm actually quite pleased because this is the first time in about 10 years that I've been able to be with my dad on Father's Day, which is really nice. As I look back at my upbringing, don't worry too much, I'm not going into anything serious. As I look back at my upbringing, I can identify many times of happiness, many times of rejoicing and celebration, good times on holidays, birthday parties, graduations and weddings, and all the great things that we celebrated together. But I also remember the time I crashed my mum's car. My mum still describes this as the day she started going grey. I remember at the time I had to tell my dad that I got a U in AS Biology, which is the lowest possible grade you can get. I remember also how helpless we all felt when I was in hospital with my lung problems when I was 18, and the stress that caused everyone. And there are many other stories that I won't tell because they would be far too embarrassing for me. But I'm sure my dad will tell you all afterwards, so there you go. But again, this reflects the reality of life, the ups and the downs, the joys and the sorrows, the weeping and the laughing, the mourning and the rejoicing. And I think this is also a reflection of God's relationship with us as his children. I'm reminded of the parable of the lost son who asks his father for his inheritance early and goes off and spends it on all kinds of wild and selfish and immoral activities. Whilst this is a parable, it's a story, you can get into it and you can imagine yourself in the father's shoes. The sadness this father must have felt at his son leaving home, knowing that his son had taken all this money and was going to spend it on all kinds of things that wouldn't be helpful for his life. We read then that the son, having run out of money, returns to his father and he says sorry, and his father throws him a party. He says, "For my son was lost and now he is found." This parable is an image of God the Father, who is filled with sadness when his children turn their back on him and walk away, but who is delighted and celebrates and rejoices when we return. And so we find that God understands this journey between lamenting and rejoicing. In fact, Jesus, I think, is the ideal image. In his death, in his brokenness, and in his suffering, we find life. I was thinking a bit about Easter. This is the perfect image of what I'm trying to reflect this morning, that God loved the world so much that he gave his son so that we could have life. That statement is filled with both sadness at the sacrifice of Jesus, but joy in the victory of what his death achieved for us. Where am I going with this? Well, this morning we've spent time lamenting. We've spent time expressing our sadness, our grief and anger at the events in Nottingham this week, and perhaps at other situations that we are experiencing or know of. We've also recognised that Father's Day can be a day of rejoicing for some and sadness for others. I think it's really important not to move people on from that place of lament if they aren't ready. Sometimes we continue to sit in our sadness and anger for a while longer. And so I don't want to do that today. I also don't think that praise, which we're going to do in a moment, is all about happiness. But rather it's about recognizing who God is and where God is for you today. It might be that you do have some really great things to be happy and rejoice about. Or it might be that you're saying a bit more like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who I spoke about when we were thinking about Daniel the other day, did as they entered the fiery furnace, where they said, "We're going to trust in God, even if he doesn't save us." This kind of response is also reflected in many of the Psalms by David, where he describes some of his battles and struggles and despairs and finishes by saying, "But yet, God, despite all of this, I praise you and I worship you for who you are." I think the reality of being human is that even in the course of one day, we may move between these two places, between praise and lament, between joy and despair, between happiness and sadness, trust and doubt, peace and fear. In fact, I think these things can coexist and happen all at the same time. And I think that's a very real and appropriate way to be. And so my encouragement for the rest of our service is to spend some time reflecting on where you are right now. You may still be in that place of lament and want to sit in that place a bit longer. You may be kind of stood where I am, somewhere in between, feeling some sadness and anger, but wanting to turn your focus back to God and onto who he is. You may be in that happy, joyful place and want to praise God wholeheartedly And that's great, and I'd encourage you to find a way of expressing that in a moment. And so we have our wall of lament, and I invite you, if you're still in that place, to stay there and to add to this wall if you wish. You can carry on painting or drawing or doing whatever you find helpful. And I invite you in that place to consider where God is for you today. And then we have our wall of praise as well. And as I've said, this doesn't have to mean being overly happy or jolly and setting aside our sadness, but a recognition of God's character, of God's presence in your everyday life. So again, feel free to find some paper and write a prayer or a Bible verse or draw a picture or do some colouring and add to that space. And we're going to, as we did earlier, have a couple of songs to listen to as we do that. I've also put a dove on each chair, and I wanted to have something that people could more easily stick on the board if they're not people who like drawing. And I couldn't figure out what's the right thing. The teardrop felt right for this. I went for a dove because a dove is a sign of peace, but you can write whatever you'd like on the dove and stick it on the board. And we're going to spend some time doing this together before we worship again in song to finish our service later. But this is your time to spend it with God as you would like to.